Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another action-packed episode of Warranted Attitude. This is the 56th edition, not the 60th edition. I assure you it is 56. I checked twice. I am your host, Brent Piles, and with me, as always, is another happy gooner, happy Arsenal fan. He is from across the ocean and from the future. The ballroom brawling, disco dancing, dynamite stretching, intercontinental playboy. Folks, he's more over than having a heart attack. At Cheers, I'm not glad of it. Glenn, I know the answer to this, but how are you?
A lot better than I was this time last week.
Exactly.
This time last week, I was laying on a bed, waiting to be taken up to a ward after kicking out of a heart attack, shall we say.
It wasn't going to get taken up to the psych ward. That was a different time in your life, right, Glenn?
That was definitely a different time in my life. I managed to avoid that one just so far.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, so that's that. If you're wondering why you didn't hear a Warring Attitude or a Sincero last week, it's because Glenn was not doing well. So we're not able to do shows, obviously, because I don't want to talk to myself. That'd be boring.
You certainly wouldn't want to talk to yourself about this Survivor Series.
No, I certainly would not want to talk to myself about the Survivor Series. Although I will say, looking at the card, it was a little bit better than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it wasn't. It's not as bad as it looked. And we'll go into that in a bit. But first of all, let's talk some football, shall we?
Yeah, I think the full-time whistle has just blown, I believe, and we just demolished Chelsea 5-0.
Yes, after taking apart Wolves as well, that away from home, that was pretty good going. After two losses on the run.
Yeah, it was nice to get back on. It's nice to be back on the winning side of things after the disappointments we had against Aston Villa and the disappointment we had in the Champions League. But that's okay, because right now, Glenn, we are top of the league currently.
We certainly are, with a little gap until today.
Yeah, and then I think City plays Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm, think so.
Yeah, they play Thursday.
I'll be with you again.
Yeah, he never leaves. I'm sure
he will never leave you, Billy.
He is the third member of our team. This is Spark, also known as Thurman Sparky Plug. Thurman, I like to call him.
Yeah.
That's from you wrestling fans. Whenever he gets in trouble, I go, Thurman. But yes, a lovely match football. Me and Glenn were sweating bullets in the first half when it was only 1-0. And then I finally breathed a sigh of relief when they scored the second goal, and little did I know that the floodgates were fixing to open.
Yeah, that's right. Two goals by a defender as well. Never been heard of.
And one, like you said, that was messy level goal by Ben White, and he didn't even mean to.
No. He shanked that over the goalkeeper beautifully.
It was amazing. Because clearly he was trying to cross it. It was the worst cross ever, but it was a beautiful goal.
Yeah, it was.
And like I told you before we got on here, you could have gave me 10 guesses on who of our team would chip one into the goal like that, and I would have guessed none of them would have been Ben White.
None of them, no. It would never have been Ben White.
But I mean, honestly, with the way he plays, and he's kind of like the heart and soul of our team, so he deserves a couple of goals, so I'm glad he got it.
Yeah.
There was that one in the first half, too, where they were saying, oh, what a great save by the Chelsea goalkeeper. And he didn't even save it. It just hit him in the face.
Yeah, that's right.
It just bounced and hit him in the face. He just got lucky.
Yeah.
He happened to be standing there.
There was a few of those.
But, yeah, anything else you wanted to talk about from anything? Anything at all, Glenn?
Well, I'm assuming that we've definitely changed the date with the mayor now.
We've changed the day we record. We don't change the day it comes out. It still comes out. No,
so a little peek behind the curtain here. We'll be talking to the mayor tomorrow, and we can do all our wrestling reviews then for the week.
That's true, because we can talk about, you know, NXT and Monday Night Raw, which I did watch a pretty good deal of Monday Night Raw. I have not seen the Battle Royal yet. Do know who won.
I do.
I know who won as well.
Oh, you do know. Okay.
Yeah, I did see who won. Do you know who won?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Becky.
I don't think we'll talk about it more with the mayor, but I don't think there was any other option. I think it had to be Becky, right?
Of course it did. Of course it did.
I wouldn't be surprised if Becky was supposed to have more time off and came back. They had called her and said, we need you to come back because somebody's got to be women's world champion. It's got to be you.
Yes. Yeah. Because the rumors are that that Rhea is actually pregnant, and that's why they've created this injury.
Really?
Yeah.
I just heard that she had hurt. I'd heard that she was only going to be out like 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of going to be longer than that, I would think, unless it is a...
Well, if she's pregnant, it's certainly going to be longer than 6 weeks, unless she's a superhuman who can give birth in 6 weeks, which I'm not putting it past her, but...
No.
who knows? Rumors are rumors, so who knows?
Daddy's been busy, apparently.
Apparently. I mean, never mind. Let's just get into it. It's Survivor Series 1997 from the Molson Center in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Are you familiar with Molson?
I am not familiar with Molson. Is it a beer?
It is a beer. Yes, it is. Molson is a beer. So
then I am familiar with it. Then.
Do you guys in over there in the UK, do they sponsor arenas with beer?
Yeah, we have the Budweiser Center and places like that.
Okay. So it's not just America.
No.
Okay. Well, yeah. So the Molson Center, not known as the Molson Center anymore. It is now known as the Bell Center. It is home to the NHL's Montreal Canadiens. It has been since March of 1996. This arena has held many concerts over the years, Glenn, but legendary Canadian singer Celine Dion has performed Her Heart Will Go On at least over 50 times at this arena between 1996 and 2020. This building has held Civil War WWF pay-per-views, including this one, No Way Out 2003, Breaking Point 2009, and Elimination Chamber last year was actually in this very same arena. I believe that was the Sami Zayn-Roman Reigns match, I believe.
I feel sorry for anybody that's paid that much money to go and listen to that song that many times.
Well, I'm sure she sang many other songs, but that's the only one of hers I can think of.
Yeah.
Do you know any Celine Dion songs?
Think Twice.
Nope. I mean, if I heard it, I probably know, but yeah. My Heart Will Go On is the only one I can name.
Well, I can't name any Taylor Swift ones, so there we go.
Okay, well, if I start naming Taylor Swift songs, it'll be a whole episode, so that's a whole other podcast.
No.
Anyway, this is the 11th Survivor Series. Actually, some surprising news about the buy rates on this pay-per-view. WCW's pay-per-view this month was World War III. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the concept of World War III, Glenn?
I do, yes.
60-ring, three-man battle royal for a title shot. So that was their pay-per-view this month. It only got a 200,000 buy rate, which is a 0.56 buy rate, and Survivor Series did a 284,000 buys, which is a 0.89. So for the first time since the Royal Rumble and sold out in January, the WWF has actually outsold WCW in buy rates on a pay-per-view. So that's a good thing for the company, I suppose.
And then again, World War III. If you look up clusterfuck in the dictionary, it'll have pictures of that.
Yeah, and while we're discussing it now, I'll just give you some of the matches on the card. Here we go, Glenn. So we have the Faces of Fear. They took on Glacier and Ernest Miller. We had Saturn versus Disco Inferno. Eugene Nagata versus Otomo Dragon. I bet that one was fun.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be a fun match.
You had the Blue Bloods, Lord Steven Regal versus the Steiner Brothers for the WCW Tag Team title. You had Steve Mongo McMichaels battled Alex Wright.
Oh, great.
And then Kurt Hennig faced Ric Flair for the United States Championship and it ended in a disqualification. Now, so Glenn, you think you have a 60-man three-ring battle royal, not a 60-ring three-man battle royal, because that would be very weird.
That's a different concept completely.
Yeah, he wouldn't be leaving his fans in there.
That's not like War Games.
Okay. 3-ring 60-man battle royal. How long do you think it would last? How give over or under? What do you think that's going to go? 30 minutes over or under?
Over 30 minutes, surely.
You'd be wrong, Glenn, because it went 29 minutes and 48 seconds.
God, they must have got rid of a lot of people very quickly.
And I'm pretty sure that this is the one where they instituted not only could you be thrown over the top rope to be eliminated, but you could also be pinned.
An army of referees in there as well.
And you've got 20 guys in a ring. How is anybody going to lay down and pin somebody? When you... Fucking WCW.
Like I said, I remember seeing the pictures. I can't remember actually ever watching it, but I've seen the pictures of it. And it literally is any definition of a clusterfuck. It would be that.
Well, Glenn, we do a show called AWI Pod Worldwide. And I'm sure a World War III 3-ring 60-man battle royal will be coming to a podcast that near you.
I'm sure it will.
So be on the lookout for that. They show a little hype video getting you ready for the Shawn Michaels Bret Hart match. And so let's have a little look see at the thing here.
This match has been ordered to continue.
I think the wrong guy won.
This is bullshit! Everybody screwed me!
I don't like him, I don't trust him, and I don't believe him.
You know, a lot of people don't agree with my lifestyle, but it is mine. So.
Phony little shit.
Just because I come out here and choose to live my life openly and freely does not make you a better man.
I don't respect you.
You don't understand what it means to have dignity, to have poise, to bring prestige to the World Wrestling Federation. I do this because I like it. You do it because in your mind, Mark Man, you really think all of this is yours. Wrestling Federation champion,
this here is what it's all about. You are a zero, my hero.
You're a disgrace to professional wrestling.
The Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels is the icon that can still go.
You're nothing but a degenerate.
Who is the show stopper?
Me.
The lowest form of scum.
Who is the main event?
Me.
Let's settle the score right here, right now.
My super kick is going to be 1 foot down yours.
I'm going to kick your little scrawny ass.
Whoa. So there we go. There is the... I thought it was funny after the video was shown, they go to the arena, you know, they do the whole, you know, welcome to Survivor Series, and JR says, you know, both men in the main event tonight have both refused to lose. And I thought, boy, is that true?
Yeah, that is very true.
They've literally refused to lose.
Although, when we get to it, I've got an opinion on this that I don't think is shared by a lot of people.
I don't know if it's the opinion I think it is. I think a lot of people might share it. I just saw some people have that controversial opinion. If it is indeed the opinion I think that it is, I heard people have that same controversial opinion just last week. So,
all right.
So the opening match is a 4-on-4 traditional Survivor Series match. The Headbangers are teaming with the Godwins. The Headbangers are teaming with the New Blackjacks. Talk about two different, very different ends of the spectrum here.
Yes,
so it's the New Blackjacks and the Headbangers are taking on the Godwins and the New Age Outlaws. This is a New Age Outlaws pay-per-view debut, I guess, isn't it?
It is. And just in case people were wondering whether this is 1997 or not that we were reviewing here. Road Dogg declares their team to be Southern Justice on the way to the ring, facing steers and queers and calling the black cracks and butt bangers.
Wow. Butt bangers, huh?
Butt bangers, yeah, definitely.
I think that would be a good tag team name now. You know what I mean? Have the butt bangers. That'd be a good indie tag team name, I think. I'm shilling it out there. I'm sure somebody could use it.
Yeah, probably. It may well be a little bit of a difference.
I wrote in my notes, the Headbangers and the New Blackjacks belong together about as much as we do with a bunch of Spurs fans, Glenn.
Yeah, that is very true.
Because they don't belong together.
Talking about that, just quickly off the wrestling for a minute. You see the thing with Thierry Henry, where I can't remember where he was. He was in a TV studio somewhere. And the girl that's interviewing him and a load of other, he says to her, "You're a Spurs fan, aren't you?" And she said, "Yes." He said, "How'd you get through the door then?"
Who let you in here?
You in here.
That's great. That's awesome. I love TT. He's great. So I guess the only thing they have in common is that they hate the New Age Outlaws, because the New Age Outlaws come out here and they still got the Black Jets like torn up hats. I thought was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
You got any notes from this opening 4-8-man elimination match?
It was just the New Age Insiders being really stupid.
Not the New Age Insiders. Those guys are stupid.
New Age Outlaws being bloody stupid. As you say, they've still got the Blackjack hats around their necks. And also, I'm not sure, was it Billy Gunn that had the Road Warriors?
Yeah, it was Billy Gunn. Yeah. He did have them on. Yep, you're right.
Talk about trying to intimidate your opponents.
I mean, not when you're acting like a couple of jackasses. I don't know. Wyndham got a really good slap onto Phineas Godwin in the opening parts of the match. It wasn't a bad match when the Blackjacks and the Godwins were in there together, because it was really, really hard hitting. I mean, because they're four big fucking guys, so it makes sense that it would be hard hitting. But I didn't think it was – when you look at this on paper, you're like, oh, it's probably not going to be anything. But I thought it was a decent match.
Mm-hmm. It was. Yeah, I'm just glad that they didn't stick with Southern Justice. The Road Dog was trying to get over the whole time yelling.
I'm pretty sure that the Godwins become Southern Justice. Don't they become a tag team called Southern Justice?
Oh, do they? Is that where they've dressed in suits?
Yeah, I think it's very short-lived, but yeah, they're dressed in suits and they're known as Southern Justice. Yeah,
they probably realized it wasn't a good idea.
because Hog Farmers is a much better plan.
That's right.
I also thought it was the Godwins keep trying to tag in Road Dogg and Billy, and they keep like avoiding the tags at all costs. They're like, nah, we're not doing it. Henry is the first one eliminated. He's rolled up by Bradshaw. We didn't see a whole lot of the Headbangers in this match at all until Phineas finally pinned Wyndham. JR somehow found out that even Mosh went to college and was a decent wrestler. So JR can find out that any person has ever went to college anywhere. And I looked up Mosh's card wrestling credentials, and I didn't find shit. I found nothing, Glenn. I was like 8 pages deep on Google and saw not a thing.
I'm sure he makes up half this shit because nobody checks it.
Well, I checked you today, JR, and I don't believe it.
Who was there to fact check him at the time? Nobody was there.
Would he go to Marilyn Manson Community College?
Yeah.
Fucking bullshit. He didn't go to college. Yeah.
I love the fact as well. The crowd were being a little bit homophobic towards Billy Gunn.
God, a little bit. They were a little bit homophobic the whole night. They hated the New Age Outlaws, too. They hated them.
The irony being that 25 years later, or whatever it is, they are now all buying T-shirts that say "Scissor Me, Daddy Us."
It's kind of strange, isn't it?
It's
nice to see where the world's went.
Yeah.
Totally turned around. Especially up in Canada. I think they're more progressive even than we are in America up there in Canada. So I'm sure, I'm sure Canada still has their backwards thinking people just like there is everywhere. But
oh, yeah.
I don't know if the people in England think of people in Canada like this, but to me, you all live in the wilderness with mooses, and you're nice to everybody. You've got freaking warm apple cider and donuts to give out to all your neighbors. So that's Canadians to me. So,
yeah.
You're playing ice hockey, you're shooting mooses, you're listening to some Shania Twain. I don't know what's going on.
Like, it was rumored by a certain gentleman that we shall not to name that you're a farmer.
Oh, yeah. I'm not a farmer, in fact. I've never farmed in my life. The most farming thing I do is mow the lawn. yeah, so, like I said, I don't want to go through every friggin' elimination here, but eventually... Billy Gunn ends up getting a pin from a blind tag with a drop. With a blind tag with a top rope knee drop, he gets the three count. The New Age Outlaws are the sole survivors of the match, and a decent match, better than I definitely thought it was going to be. All right, now Glenn, it's time to get into the real meat of this pay-per-view. Every person who listens to this show came to listen to us review the Truth Commission, the Jackal, the Interrogator, Sniper, and Recon. Taking on DOA, Crush, Chains, 8-Ball, and Skull.
Why?
I think this is the first time we saw the Interrogator in an official match, though, so that's something.
It was. And didn't he look puny compared to the rest of them? You don't expect Don Callis to look that puny.
Oh, no, that's the Jackal. I'm talking about the Interrogator.
Oh, Interrogator. Oh, yeah, he's definitely not puny.
What do they end up calling him? Kurgan, I think, Batman? Kurgan.
Yeah.
But yeah, Don Callis, he is pretty small. I mean, like, when you look at him, like, he looks like a tall guy, but you get him in the ring against fucking a bunch of giant fucking men, and he just looks like a little person, so.
Yeah.
He looked like he was going to ride a horse after the match. Like, after the match, they were going to take him over to the fucking horse races, and he's a jockey, because he had, like, jockey pants, and he was little. Yeah. It was very strange.
And long hair.
Yeah, and the long hair.
Which goes totally against everything that the Truth Commission stands for.
I think you're probably right. But maybe he gets to have long hair because he's their messiah or something. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. So Chains gets eliminated almost immediately with the sidewalk slam from the Interrogator. At this point, I'm thinking to myself, why doesn't the Interrogator just sidewalk slam everybody?
That's it. You know, get it over within that 20 seconds. It would be great.
Yeah, I mean, you'd get him over, and I mean, these biker guys, most of their matches end in DQ anyway, so who cares?
Yeah, that's it.
So Jackal gets into the ring during the match as well, but he gets taken out pretty quick by 8-Ball or Skull. I'm not sure, and JR's not sure either. I don't know, Glenn, you got any notes from this clusterfuck?
Just that it's a total heatless clusterfuck, basically. The only the only person that came out with any sort of kudos at all was the Interrogator.
Yeah, I mean, other than the loud roar the fans gave for the motorcycles were the most thing over thing about.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, but isn't that usual with it with DOA?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, once the motorcycles are parked, it's pretty much over.
That's it, yeah.
I mean, Crush has got something. I mean, I'm never going to say Crush didn't have something, but I mean, besides being the fake Undertaker, what has Brian Lee got going on?
Nothing.
And the fucking other guys, they had like 10 different gimmicks, and they were never anything either. They're big, strong guys. I get it, but like...
Yeah, this was their best. This was their claim to fame, really.
Oh, you sure it wasn't the Blue Bluff Brothers, Glenn?
Oh, God, that, yeah, as well. Oh,
Jacob and Eli.
Jacob and Eli Blue, I forgot those two.
We did get some twin magic during this thing. The Skull and 8-Ball pulled off some twin magic and managed to pin one of the Truth Commission members. At that point, I was just hoping for the match to end.
Yeah.
The Interrogator ends up pinning 8-Ball, leaving Crush alone versus him and whatever the other guy's name is. Crush is able to pin the other guy, but then the Interrogator quickly hits him with a sidewalk slam, which I was wondering why you just didn't fucking do it at the beginning. And this was sometime in my life I'm never going to get back.
It was 10 minutes. It was 10 whole minutes. minutes, and it could have been over in two.
If I made a top 400 Survivor Series matches of all time list, this wouldn't fucking make it. No. It wouldn't even get to number 400. That's how bad this shit was. It was horrible. It was not good. They then talked to a bunch of fans about who they think is going to win the main event tonight. And I was actually shocked to hear a few Hoser Canadians pick Shawn Michaels, trainer.
Yeah, they were. They were. No. Just goes to show how much Michaels is over, though, doesn't it?
Even when he's supposed to be a heel.
Yeah.
They would then go to Kevin Kelly, who's in the AOL chat room with Stone Cold Steve Austin, of all people. Chat savvy.
Those were the days, the AOL chat room.
Yeah, I mean, I remember those days very fondly. You'd go into a chat room and chat with a girl. It was probably a guy pretending to be a girl, but you'd think it was a girl.
After your modem had taken 20 minutes, letting the whole house know that you were on the internet.
Yeah, because you couldn't use the phone.
And screaming at the top of it.
Yeah. This generation will never know the pain. He asked Stone Cold if he's worried about the match tonight, and he says, of course he's worried about it, but he doesn't need anyone feeling sorry for him because he's going to, you know, whoop on Hart's ass tonight, as he always does.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to the big feud between the USA and America is going to culminate in this 8-man tag team match. We got Team USA versus Team Canada, Glenn. Let's hear promos from both squads. What do you say?
Yeah, go on then.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
Team America, let me take a minute to introduce them. The man they call Goldust, Mark Merrill, and Steve Blackman, the newcomer in town. Now, Team America and Vader, we don't have very much in common, except we don't like big mouth Canadians trash talking Americans, telling us how to think, telling us what to do, telling us how to act. So tonight, yeah, it's time. It's time to get bad. It's time to get back. And oh yeah, Team Canada, they're tough when it's 4-on-1. But tonight, look around you, Team Canada. It's 4 against 4. So it's just not Vader time tonight. No, it's America's time.
Mr. Blackman, 6 days ago on Raw, you needed a ticket to get into the arena in Hershey. Tonight, remember, a Team USA, you must be nervous.
Well, I may not be experienced in WWF wrestling, but I'm certainly experienced in every other form of fighting known to man. And, you know, to me, a fight's a fight, so I'm ready.
Gentlemen, that's Team USA. British Bulldog, Team USA seems extremely confident, but they're on foreign territory tonight.
That's right. You're in the Canadian domain, USA. Tonight, you will leave the ring losers, and Canada will be victorious.
Doug Burnett.
That's right. Oh, glory. What's there to glorify? I'll tell you what the American fans of WWF are about. They're about drug, crimes, slime, and now they have their new degenerates. Well, I used to be proud to be an American, but tonight I declare my independence. They say America, love it or leave it, I left.
You suck.
Okay, my first favorite part of this is the first Vader with the long, about 5 seconds of silence. Just like he had no idea what he was going to say.
That's it. You put a man in charge of a team that can't talk and make him talk.
And then, like, why would they have Steve Blackman talk? It's his first time on the show. Like, oh, we'll just have this guy cut a promo.
That's right.
And then old Doug Furness back there, we're into drugs, crime, and slime.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I enjoy a bit of slime.
I guess. I mean, Nickelodeon used to do slime, but they were really slimy.
I watched that documentary. Yeah. A whole new meaning to slime.
It's ruined every show that I watched when I was a kid. And I'm not trying to like put this on me. It's terrible what happened to those fucking kids. That's fucking awful. Fuck what happened to me and my favorite shows. That's freaking awful. What's the awful thing about it is those people don't get fucking put in jail for more than two or three fucking years. That's fucking revolting. Those people should get the most jail time. You're going to take a guy. Sorry, I'm going to get my soapbox here. You're going to take a guy who sells weed, give him 25 years in prison. But if you rape fucking kids, you only get 4 years. What kind of shit is that?
Yeah. Sorry. After watching that documentary, you'd never want to watch Jake and Drucker again.
If I was Drake's dad, I'd have been waiting outside the fucking jail when that guy got out because I would have fucking pounded his fucking face into the ground and then they could have took me into the fucking jail.
That's the trouble. Is he got 15 months, you would have got life.
See, that shit fucking pisses me off to no fucking end because it's fucking disgusting. Those people should get the most time. Chop that motherfucker off. You want to do shit to kids? We're hacking that motherfucker off. Now roll it, bitch.
With two bricks.
Yeah, you fucking assholes. Anyway, I'm sorry.
That's it. That's enough of that, Red.
I will get off my soapbox. And now to the match. Team USA versus Team Canada. They talk about how, you know, Steve Blackman had to be bailed out of jail by Vader, which I thought was funny. Goldust has FU painted on his face. And the biggest pop for Team America came for Sable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so JR makes a really good point that Team Canada is full of guys, except for one, who have not been born in Canada. But yeah, LaFon, the only one who was born in Canada on the Canadian team. Bulldog, of course, is from England. Furness is from Tennessee, I think. You don't get more fucking American than that. And no.
He's a real redneck.
And then Jim Neidhart's fucking the most American man I've ever seen. When people think of Americans, they think of a guy who looks like Jim Neidhart.
Oh God, yeah, definitely, even with the little goatee beard.
Yeah, I'm thinking about growing mine like that. See how long it takes before my wife divorces me. Anyway, the part of me was hoping that the Bulldog would just beat up the four members of Team USA in under 5 minutes, but unfortunately, that didn't happen.
No. Again, it's another match that went on far too long.
Yeah, you got any high points from this match that you got notes on?
Not really. It was over a week ago that I watched it, so and nothing really jumps out in the notes.
Bulldog did do a standing suplex on Vader, but in true British Bulldog fashion, does not go for a pin.
No, of course not.
Why would you? So the crowd, it was really into this match because they really were booing everything that Team America did and cheering for everything that Team Canada did. So that did work out. What'd you think of the debut of Steve Blackman?
It wasn't much, was it?
No, he just started fighting and then he got himself counted out.
Yeah, he did more when Vader ended up covering up when he came out the crowd the last time.
He did. This feels like they didn't know who else to put in Team USA. And so they said, hey, how about this guy? We've been waiting to debut this guy.
That's right.
Yeah, so he gets counted out. Vader then takes out Neidhart with a big splash. I really thought that Phil LaFon might be the MVP of this match because he did a lot of really impressive stuff. And then just as I typed that, he got squashed by Vader and pinned. So my MVP didn't last very long.
No. And let's face it, you know, Furness and LaFon have always been a good tag team.
Right.
They just kept on being given crap all the time.
Yeah, they just don't have any. Well, they also don't have any charisma.
No, that's very true.
Their charisma vacuum. I would say that so far, I don't know. The opening tag match was probably better than this one.
It was.
Because there was just no continuity to either team. Besides Bulldog and Jim Neidhart, none of these people, you know, I mean, obviously the tag team, but you just threw those guys together last week, Furness, LaFon, and Bulldog. And then obviously this Team USA was just drawn out of a hat.
Yeah. There was nobody anybody could actually get behind or hate that much. if it had been all the Hearts,
yeah,
versus a proper All-American team, instead of having all the nonsense that came on later, if they had Austin, Triple H, HBK, and one other against the Hearts, that would have been a true Survivor Series match.
Oh, yeah, they would have went crazy for that. If they would have done the five-on-five tag team match that they did at Canadian Stampede and it's a Survivor Series match, the main event this, it would have been insane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. So Bulldog overpowers Mero, going for a power slam, but he counters, face first in the corner. Furnace is able to roll up Mero and pin him, and then I don't think Goldust was even in the match up until this point. Vader and Bulldog have a pretty good back and forth toward the end, but Vader keeps trying to tag Goldust in, but Goldust won't tag. Finally, Vader just goes over and just smacks Goldust in the face, pulls him into the ring. Goldust just says F you, which is written on his face, and just walks out. So it's Vader versus Furnace and Bulldog by himself. Bulldog grabs the ring bell. He hits Vader after Vader hits a Vader bomb on Furnace, pins him, but then when the referee is trying to get Furnace out of the ring, Bulldog clobbers Vader with the Vader with the bell. I almost said with the Vader bell. He hit him with the Vader bell. And then he pins him for the win, which got a huge pop in the crowd. And little did the heart did the crowd know that this was as good as it was gonna get for the Hearts.
Yeah. What a maneuver, as they say.
Yeah, we don't have to hear that anymore though, Glenn.
No, that's a blessing.
He's done. And then we get it's going to be Mankind versus Kane and Kane's first official match. But first, let's hear the promo that Mankind cut beforehand.
Oh, yes.
Mankind, do you have any last words?
I don't want this to be remembered as a wrestling match because it won't be. It's Mankind against a brick wall. Now, how do you face a brick wall? Common sense would say you walk around or you climb over, but that's not my way. I'm going to get a head start, Jimmy, and I'm going to launch myself into that brick wall. And when it does not fall, I'll get up and do it over and over again. And like Burr said, I may die trying. But I may not. So Uncle Paul, if that wall goes down, well, it's just you and me. The man you referred to after giving a year of my life. You referred to me as a pebble. You gave my soul and you called me a pebble. So when I sink these two fingers deep inside your trembling, flabby jowls, and your eyes begin to pop out of your evil little mind, I'm going to ask you one simple question. Do I look like a pebble now? Do I? Have a nice day.
There's two people that they should have their own wing at the Hall of Fame. One's Mick Foley and the other's R-Truth.
Just I thought you were going to say The Undertaker, but R-Truth I'll take, yes.
Just for the acting that they do.
Oh, yeah.
And how good they are at it.
I mean, all the characters that Mick Foley plays, he's got four different characters that he played. He could definitely have his own wing. Yeah. Hmm. I would say that, Glenn, I think you would describe this Kane versus Mankind match as a cracker.
Oh, yeah.
Because these guys beat the shit out of each other.
They did.
My only complaint is the low red haze during
that spoiled it for me as well. And I said that when he debuted, that you can't see anything going on through the red.
And I think they noticed halfway through because it was a lot darker, and then they brightened it up a little bit more, but it still had that red haze to it. Because I think at first they were like, wow, that looks like shit. So the lighting up did it help a little bit, but I think if you just would have had just full lights up, I think it would have been, looked at it in a whole different light. You know what I mean?
It started with The Undertaker. They had the perfect opportunity to bring the lights back up with the explosion. He does the thing. He comes to the ring all in red and everything. He does the form and up goes the corner posts.
Yeah.
And the lights come up. that they used to do with The Undertaker. Perfect. But no, they kept it. You couldn't see what was going on.
Luckily, they don't. I don't think they keep this going on for a whole month or a lot longer. I think this. I think doing this, they realize that we can't keep doing it like this. So nobody's gonna be able to see anything.
As you said, they realized very early in this match that they got it wrong, but they couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah. So Mankind's throwing everything he's got at Kane. Kane does sell a few things, but Kane, of course, keeps coming at him no matter what Mankind does.
I love that. He's not going to go over or around Mankind. Mankind's a wall, and he's going to go through him.
Yeah, and I mean that's exactly what he did when he came out here. Throwing everything he could at the wall, but just not being able to knock the wall down. He picks up Kane, drops him face first on the steps. He grabs a chair, hits Kane with it, but Kane is still gets back up to his feet. He hits a pile driver on him. He then puts the mandible claw on Paul Bearer. You got any notes from this one?
How the hell did their parents burn?
I don't know.
Because there's nothing you can do to actually kill these two. Him or the Undertaker.
I was like wondering, what were their parents?
They're
some sort of weird super beings, right?
Yeah, they must have been.
Must have been members of the Adams family or some shit.
Yeah. It was just so good. Mick Foley just takes all the praise for getting, I won't even use his proper name, Kane over in his first proper match.
Yeah, we only talk about Kane on this show. We don't talk about the other guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked when he had the mandible claw on Paul Bearer, and he's screaming out, Am I a pebble now? but, Kane sits up as he's doing this, grabs Mankind on the apron, throws him from the apron through the Spanish announce table, which they were doing spots like that, but not like they were doing it a lot, especially that sort of violent throw. So that was a pretty cool spot. But they keep brawling. They fight down the entranceway. Mankind hits a double arm DDT on the floor, then his big elbow. But then Kane grabs Mankind off the middle rope and just throws him down on the floor, like from the middle rope, splat back down to the floor. Man, an amazing match and a great way to debut the character of Kane. He hits a tombstone and obviously for the pin for the win.
Yeah. He had to slam him off the apron first and then does a tombstone on him. Mankind's nearly as tough as this. Was a great first opponent for Kane.
Yeah.
At least we didn't have weeks of him destroying jobbers.
Yeah, and it was like Mankind's, crazy enough to where he would have to sell a little bit for him, but at the same time, it would be like, oh my God, he look how easily he beat Mankind, because while Mankind got some shit in, Kane really did dominate. Perfect way to debut him, I think. They picked the perfect guy, and especially the whole history of Mankind and Paul Bearer, so that tied into it too, so that all worked out well. We then get an interview with Michael Cole, who's talking to Vince McMahon and Commissioner Slaughter. They talk
Danny about, look young. Danny look young.
Oh, Vince?
Michael Cole.
Oh, Michael Cole. Yeah, he looks like a baby.
Fresh-faced baby
Cole. They talk about how they want to make sure that nothing goes on backstage between Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, because this match is supposed to take place a few times but didn't happen because certain things went on backstage. Cole then asks Vince who he thinks is going to win, and Vince says that he doesn't know, which at that point I'm not sure if he did know.
Probably not. He doesn't seem to know or not at this time.
Yeah. The next up, this is actually a real grudge match, and I'll give them this one. The Nation of Domination faces LOD, Ken Shamrock, and their longtime nemesis, Ahmed Johnson. Let's hear the pre-match promo from Shamrock and the LOD.
Oh, yes, please.
While Glenn untangles.
Here we go, the traditional Survivor Series elimination tag team matches with gang rules. Obviously, a dangerous situation, which should be right up the alley for the world's most dangerous man.
That's right. We're here to take care of business. And I got the tag team champions of the WWF, Hawk and Animal. And speaking of survival, Ahmed Johnson, no stranger to that. And when we get in that ring, it's going to be time to knuckle up and take care of some of that criminal element. Tell him, Hawk.
It seems to me that there's a lot of criminal element amongst the WWF. Well, we are the sergeants of arms, and we're going to get rid of the riffraff, starting with a nation domination. When we get done with you, you'll all be down, face down in a pool of blood, hoping you got a friend to tip you on your back so you don't drown in your own blood. What a run.
That wasn't as good as his usual stuff, I don't think. That was a little...
No, no. Yes, Ken Shamrock there looking like a sofa.
Oh, a very svelte sofa, too. Very comfy.
Yeah, yeah.
So a big Rocky Sucks chance from the Canadian fans.
Oh, yeah.
Makes her way out of the ring. Shamrock must have some Canadian ties because he got a really big pop from the crowd when he came out.
Yeah. Probably they like their MMA.
That could be. I was gonna say maybe they just love MMA fighters. This was the longest match of the show. The only other match that got 20 minutes at least from bell to bell was Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart, the main event. So yeah, I don't know. It was fine, but again, it wasn't great. I mean, it was probably the second best 4-on-4 tag team match of the evening.
Yeah.
Which I didn't think the first one would be the best one, but it was. Yeah. At least in there my humble opinion.
I saw that there was somebody from WWF Creative in the front row who had a big sign up that said Bret Hart to WCW.
Yeah, I did see that. I did see that. Hawk and D'Lo start the match, but Hawk is no-selling everything D'Lo does. D'Lo even clotheslined Hawk, and it knocked D'Lo over. He then hit a pile driver on Hawk, which, of course, that doesn't fucking work.
No. He's not going to sell that, is he? He never sells anything.
And then when he pops right up, of course, D'Lo quickly runs over there and tags in the Rock, who quickly hits a rock bottom. After someone else, I think, kicked Hawk in the back. I think it was Comic kicked Hawk in the back. And so Hawk's out of this match very quickly.
It took a punch to the back, a kidney punch from Karma. And then a rock bottom to get rid of him.
Yeah, so Hawk is out.
It protected him quite a bit with getting him out of the way early as well.
Yeah, that's true. We then.
I don't know whether he had a problem because he didn't say anything. It was all animal.
It was all Hawk. Animal.
It was animal that didn't say.
Yeah.
So I get them confused.
It's okay,
trying to make something out of nothing.
They're just a bunch of guys with face paint on, Glenn. It's
understandable. Yeah, big at that.
And then we get to see what we've been seeing throughout the whole year of 1997, and that is the Nation of Domination beating on Ahmed Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
But then out of nowhere, Ahmed hits his finisher on Farouk, and the Farouk, the leader of the Nation of Domination, is the first one out.
That's sowing the seeds too, so...
Yeah, definitely. And then D'Lo hit a frog splash, but didn't pin anybody, which is a terrible idea. Ahmed Johnson hit one of the worst spine busters I think I've ever seen. It was dreadful. Arn Anderson rolled over in his grave, and he's not even dead yet. That's how bad it was.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so, but even though Farouk got eliminated, he never actually left the ringside area. So he somehow grabs Ahmed Johnson's foot and holds on to it while Rocky pins Ahmed. So Ahmed's out. Then he chases Farouk and they fight to the back.
Of course.
Glenn, who do you think would win in a fight in a match in 1995? The Supreme Fighting Machine, comma, or Ken Shamrock?
That would be stiff, wouldn't it?
It would be. They're both Supreme Fighting
Machines. I would think Ken Shamrock just about. because he's the world's most dangerous man.
I mean, the Godfather,
Mustafa is only supreme. He's not the world's great.
Yeah, I thought Kama looked really good in this match, but he got rolled up by an animal. Man, the Canadian fans hated Rocky. The Rocky sucks chants were echoing throughout the arena every time he was in the ring, which was good.
That was excellent.
Yeah, the New Age Outlaws came down here. They've got the LED shoulder pads on. Of course, Animal goes after them. They end up, he ends up throwing a referee down, and then they throw powder into his face, and he ends up being counted out. I'm not sure why he was counted out when they threw powder into his face, but whatever. So it's Shamrock alone versus Rocky and D'Lo. Shamrock ends up taking out D'Lo with an ankle lock, but Rocky hits him when the ref is behind the ref's back, and Shamrock's able to kick out. The fans either really loved, they really loved Shamrock, and they hated Rocky because they were really into this match. So yeah, really good back and forth between these two. They're going to have a nice little feud going into WrestleMania 14, so that'll be fun.
The irony of watching this is that somebody backstage had put a big sticker on Ken Shamrock and said, he's the star of the future.
Yeah.
And except the star slipped down and it went in onto Rocky Maivia.
Yeah, it slid to another person. Yeah, Shamrock ends up making Rocky tap out, though, at the end. And so, like Akon and Young Jeezy, taking it easy, Ken Shamrock is your sole survivor. You like how I turned that up? I tried that up? They show a video hyping the next pay-per-view, which is called In Your House D-Generation X, and we hear the DX music for the first time in this thing.
We do. We seem to be doing a little bit of research into this. There seems to be a theme where it was thought that the network had put this in, or Peacock had put this in afterwards, because most people seem to think that it wasn't till the Raw after this that music debuted or whatever.
I could make a lot of sense because I have watched the Raw after this. I watched it this week, and the way they opened the show, it makes a lot of sense why that would be true. I'm sure it was some other music, and they probably just went in and put something else and put that over it because it fit. Yeah. So, and then we get the long-awaited return of Stone Cold Steve Austin to finally face Owen Hart for the Intercontinental Championship, and this one was like a minis match, short and sweet.
It was. Because you can't have Austin in a technical match at this stage in his career.
Well, and I still think that there might have been a little bad blood between the two from what happened at SummerSlam, and I don't think
Austin
was really keen to wrestling a long match with Owen Hart. Mm-hmm. But like you said, after they built this up for so long, it only made sense for him to come out here and beat him quick.
Yeah. It was barely a match. That was what I put down for this.
It was absolutely barely a match. So they bring all Team Canada comes out with him. Neidhart tries to attack Austin before the match, but he eats a quick stunner. Owen attacks him from behind. The rest of the Hearts do head to the back after the match starts, which was a surprise to me. Owen tries to leave, and the King says Owen Hart is opening up a can of Hall Ass, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah.
He starts choking Austin with a cable wire outside the ring. The referee, he keeps screaming at the referee to disqualify him. They look like they're going to go into the same spot where Owen did the pile driver on Austin at the SummerSlam match, but instead it goes into Austin, hitting him with the stunner, and Austin is the new Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah, he's the one.
Which I don't think he even keeps that for very long before he gives it to The Rock.
No.
So, now we go into what people still have talked about. You know, it was, I don't know how many years ago it was, like 30 years ago, and people still are talking about it to this day.
Still speculating.
It is Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels, I like the entrances. They follow everybody from like their locker room down, and they play like the big fight music and gave it a big fight feel. Michaels comes down to the ring. He basically fucks the Canadian flag in the middle of the ring. That's not a euphemism. He literally fucked the flag in the flag. He absolutely did it. The people go crazy for Brett, obviously. No one even threw anything at him. That was nice. They threw everything at Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Everything that wasn't nailed down, they tossed at him. Well, I did see a sign that says, "Why wait, Brett? Leave now!" In the crowd. So maybe at least one person didn't like it.
Yeah, they actually had to stop and sweep the ring before they could start the match.
Yeah, because there was all the shit in the ring. Well, they fought outside the ring for a while.
Yeah, and that's why they
brawling in the ring.
That's when they managed to clear the ring with all the crap.
Yeah, they were thrown. Yeah, so they fight. They start brawling around the ring. They go into the fans. Shawn Michaels, a brave man, because I wouldn't go out there with those Canadians. They got Vince, the Sarge, other referees out here. JR mentions that if Bret Hart loses, this might be his last match in the WWF. So that was some interesting foreshadowing.
Certainly was.
It's a shame that this is only going to ever get remembered for the ending of it, because it was actually a pretty damn good match.
It was a very good match. And it just, there's just something about it that I'm pretty sure that it was only Vince and the referee that knew this was going to be a screw job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't think Sean knew?
I don't think Sean, not by his reaction, because it's not very often that I've actually watched this. I've just listened to what people have said about it.
Right.
But right at the end, I know we're jumping to the end a bit here.
No, the ending is what everybody knows about.
Yeah, right at the end, when you get that quick count and the pin and the quick count.
The sharpshooter, you mean?
Sharpshooter, yeah, sorry. And the referee calls it off straight away, basically, doesn't he? You know? I think Brett rolls out the ring and Sean rolls after him and he's going, "What the fuck happened? I'm sorry."
Yeah, but I think the thing was that they told Sean to pretend like he didn't know what happened.
All right.
And so I think that's why he was doing that, because I think that they told Sean, you know, it's on me, whatever happens. So you just pretend to be dumb to the whole situation.
All right. Okay.
And plus, with the kind of person that Shawn Michaels was back then, I wouldn't be surprised if him just not wanting to say anything just because he didn't want to take his lumps.
That's it.
Yeah, that could be too.
Yeah, that could be too. Anyway, no. Good acting on his part, if it was acting.
Yeah, if it was. I mean, it's all going to be up for speculation for the end of time. You know what I mean? Yeah. I thought that your hot take was going to be that you didn't think that you thought it was a work.
No. I've heard enough people's versions of it to know that it wasn't a work.
I saw some people discussing that on threads just last week, that they thought it was all a work. This is my main reason why I don't think it's a work. Bret Hart has held on to this grudge for how long? And I don't think you can do this and talk about it forever if it was a work. He would have let it go a long time ago if it wasn't.
Yeah.
And that's why I say there's no way that it was a work.
No, he got shafted and he don't like it.
I mean, yeah.
And that's basically it.
Yeah.
And we'll probably never know what the truth is until the Grand Pooh Bar actually shuffles off his mortal coil and we get a shoot book.
Yeah, we don't want to hear from him anyway, so.
No, but somebody's going to write a shoot book of what went on.
Oh, somebody's going to write a tell-all book about him. Yeah, whether it's with his blessing or not, it's going to happen. Yeah.
Without his blessing.
I'm sure somebody's got one out already. I think there's one out called Ringmasters. That's like about the life of Vince McMahon. But yeah, I mean, they brawled all over the arena for about 8 minutes. Brett suplexes Shawn on the floor. They finally get in the ring. The match officially starts. This wasn't a wrestling match. It was a fight. They really just fought. They were outside the ring. He threw Brett into the ring steps. He broke Brett's flag and stuck the pole into Brett's throat like the end of it. Brett really starts working on HBK's knees. He puts him in the finger four around the ring post. Starts to really build momentum, sets Sean up for this sharpshooter. Brett comes off the middle rope, but Sean pulls the ref in front of him to take the ref out. Sean rakes his eyes, and then that's when you get the infamous spot of Sean. The funny thing about this is Sean puts his legs in wrong, and Brett tells him that it's wrong, and Sean fixes it. So Brett really set himself up to be screwed. He really just set all up for him to be screwed.
Brett screwed Brett. That is it. That's been the big thing from it, is Brett screwed Brett, and he looked like he did.
Well, and I think from what I read in Brett's book, it was Brett's idea for them to do that spot.
Yeah.
Like, they were supposed to do that, and then that's when everybody was supposed to hit the ring for the big smile. Brett was supposed to reverse it, and then DX and the Hearts were supposed to all hit the ring for the big smiles. So,
yeah,
Brett really set himself up, but he did it to himself. He really did it to himself. But I just don't, they didn't have to. I know they'll say that they had to do this. There wasn't no other way, but there was some other way that they could have done this. You know what I mean? I don't think
they could have got the title off of him before then.
Yeah.
And just had this as a blood feud match.
Yeah, you could have had Brett lose it to The Undertaker 2 weeks Survivor Series, and then just had Shawn Michaels versus Brett, and it didn't have to end. It could have just ended in them brawling, and that could have been the end of the show. But yeah, I mean, we could go into all the backstage stuff that happened. You know, Brett punches Vince in the face, but you've heard that on 100 podcasts 100 times.
Yes,
I'm not going to bore you with it more here. So,
no.
So what do we think, Glenn? Does 1997 Survivor Series get a thumbs up or a thumbs down? One solid thumb up, I agree.
One solid thumb up. It's not a two thumb up, but it's not as much of a thumbs down as I thought it was going to be when you first sold it to me.
But when I looked at the card, I did not have high hopes. I did not have high hopes. I watched this when I was a child at my friend's house, and I remember it was just me and my friend Adam. Adam, if you're out there, I miss you, buddy. I haven't seen Adam since high school. But we were sitting there eating pizza, and I remember the match ended. We were both big Shawn Michaels fans, so we looked at each other like, I don't know what the fuck just happened, but Shawn Michaels the champion, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's good.
Good for us.
Yeah.
But yeah, any final thoughts on Survivor Series 97?
It's doing what most of 97 is doing so far. It's progressing stories.
Absolutely.
And the screw job has given people something to talk about for 25 years.
Yeah, still going strong. And I'm sure 20 years from now, people will still be talking about it if the world hasn't ended.
Yep, that's right. I was talking about it the other night to one of the nurses.
See, there you go. It's every wrestling fan of our era is always going to talk about the Montreal Screwjob. It's just the way it goes.
It is.
20 documentaries, there'll be 20 more, there'll be books, all kinds of shit. But that's it for this episode of Warring to Attitude. Glenn, I did your plugs last week for you, but thankfully you get to do them this week. Who are we plugging before we get out of here?
We've got the I've forgotten them. I'm booking the territory. I was thinking of the Danitori, which is the Road to Wembley 1981, the most watched wrestling show of all time with Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks. They're being the elite Gator Golf series where they're not Gator Golfing anymore. They're doing other stuff.
It's a bunch of nonsense.
It is a bunch of nonsense. I think it was bottle flipping or something this week.
Yeah, I think it is water bottle flipping, yeah.
Yeah, there's that. What else is there they do? I can't remember.
I think that's it. I think you got it all.
DDT Wrestling with DC and Doc. And, of course,
the Doctor Who Podcast with Danny and Sir. That's on SJP World. Yeah, check them out.
You say that a lot better when I'm leading you into that than when you do
it. Yeah, I was like at the end of my breath, so I couldn't sing too. You know, I have asthma. And I'm a smoker. Well, and of course, as always, make sure you give our buddy Thomas Bryce a follow on all social medias. I forgot to send Thomas our shows last week. I'll send them to you, Tom, I swear to God. But give him a follow on X, on Instagram, Threads. It's Thomas Bryce 2020 on Instagram and Threads. I think it's 2017 on Twitter, X, whatever they call that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, make sure you check out Sportswire Radio and check out that website. It's sportswireradio.org. Hit that listen live button and you can hear from all kinds of fancy people, even us and other people who talk about all kinds of sports. And of course, give the other member of our podcast team, the mayor of Canton, a follow on the Twitter X. He does a meal with the mayor every week where he tries fast food so you can know what's good or you can know what's crap. That's a tremendous service that he does for each and all of us. We thank you, Mayor of Canton, even though sometimes he reviews shit that makes me hungry for shit that I'll never have. And I know Glenn can agree with that.
I agree with that entirely.
Absolutely, pal. And of course, check out all of our other shows. There's no new Psycho Sid, but there will be a new Life and Times of Psycho Sid. He'll be venturing back to the World Wrestling Federation to be Shawn Michaels' personal bodyguard heading into WrestleMania 11, so be on the lookout for that. It's the 30th episode. It'll be out this Friday, and we'll be doing more Memphis wrestling. It's called Walking in Memphis, our new Memphis wrestling series. Episode 2 will be out this Sunday, so make sure you check out all that stuff. Subscribe to our YouTube page. We're over 300 subscribers. We're trying to get to 1 million, so keep hitting that subscribe button. I'm setting that goal high, Glenn. Some people would say 400, but I want 1 million, damn it. But okay. That is it. That is all. The only thing left to do is for Glenn to say
goodbye.
All right.